What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google. And today I'm coming at you with another one, with a special one. I'm here with my man, Dan Caldwell. And this guy helped build the iconic brand Tap Out. And everybody's heard of that. Most of us have at least a hat laying around somewhere. So, Dan, tell us a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and why you do it for the people who don't know you.
Now it's just an addiction, I think. But, you know, in the beginning, it just became something fun to do. I think, you know, I was a former police officer I'll tell you this about cops. Every cop has some idea in their hat that they're always trying to implement. I can't even count how many times other officers have come to me and said, "Oh, I have an idea for this." I remember this one officer coming to me with this great idea for how to write reports. It was just a way to keep your stencil so you could keep straight writing. And I was like, that's a great idea. You know, maybe we should put that out. And it just this kind of entrepreneurial bug that I had as a kid kind of came back up to me. And we just out of a coincidence, me and my partner were training in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu right after we saw the first UFC. We started training in Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. And being in there, both of us realized how, like, we were in the ground floor of something that was just going to be incredible. And you know that moment when, and you know this because you're a young entrepreneur who's building something right now that I think would probably be incredible and is incredible now. But you're in the ground floor of something that is just really in its infancy. And even though it's been around for a while, it's right now it's exploding. And that's how we felt. We just felt like we're here right now. And we may never see this again. You know, it's a brand new sport, the first sport to emerge in over 100 years, at this level. And right now it's totally illegal in every state in the country, except for one. And so if we can somehow attach ourselves to this, I think, you know, it could be big. Maybe we can make $1 million. And so we just started. We just said, let's print some shirts and start selling them at these events. Because we used to compete at these small jiu-jitsu tournaments that they would have at schools and different arenas. So sometimes it would be a mixed martial arts fight, which would be kind of like the UFC, but it was small and underground and totally illegal. I can remember walking into this one that was at a U-Haul place, and you would go into the U-Haul place, you'd give them a code word, they would offer to sell you a ticket, and then you would walk into the back, and in the back inside this big warehouse was a cage set up and two like small bleacher setups, and you would watch a fight. You know, you'd watch these fights. And that's how it started. And we were right there in the middle of it. So we just kept putting one foot in front of the other and ended up starting selling. We'd sell t-shirts at events like that and created our website. And we were like, I would say we were one of the early e-commerce adopters when we started selling online in 1998, and we weren't in any store. So the only way you could get our shirts was either online, which we had a very archaic, website that would, when you purchased, it actually did all the whole transaction through email, and it would send us an email with all their credit card info. And then you can understand this, you know, I mean, a time when they would send the email to us with all their credit card information, and then we would have to manually type it into a little credit card machine, and that's how we would process an order. And then I would have to enter it into QuickBooks and send them a QuickBooks receipt. I mean, that's how archaic it was.
Wow. But,
and then we just built it into something special.
That's insane, man. So I do want to, you did kind of pique something in my mind. Like you said that most police officers have an idea under their hat. What do you think keeps most of these police officers from implementing those ideas?
You know, lots of police officers, when they're at that point in their life, they found what they think is a career, because most police officers are lifers. I mean, almost all police officers are lifers. I think they find a career and it's hard to pivot at that point. You feel like I'm in my career, maybe it's a side hustle, but they just don't know at that point whether they want to, because I love police work. I love police work today. I mean, you know, I built a company now that's kind of in that space a little bit. And I it's because I love police work so much. I loved being able to be out there. It's almost like being an entrepreneur in a way where you kind of have some freedom. You're out there driving around in your car. You decide whether you want to make a traffic stop. If you get a call, you do have to go to the call. But when you get there, it's kind of, you're out in the open, fresh air. You know, it's kind of like you just have, it's just different than a regular job. And there's a lot of satisfaction out of there. There's a lot of excitement. It's like riding a roller coaster almost all day. You're just, it's just a really fun job that I enjoyed, and I would probably go back and do it again if my life permitted it. But I love being an entrepreneur too. It's a roller coaster ride too. And so I just think these guys, they have things that they love their police work, and they need money like everybody else. And they would love to have what, you know, some entrepreneurs have, these entrepreneurs that are doing well, but that transition, that pivot from having this secure career to becoming that entrepreneur that risks everything and put it on the line, I'm not sure a lot of them are willing to take that step.
So what was that mindset shift like for you then, man, from being the police officer to jumping into starting this t-shirt business out of the back of a car?
Well, luckily enough, we could do both at that time. So we were still police officers. Me and my partner were both cops. He was a deputy sheriff. I was a police officer. And we could go to these events on our off time. We would just schedule it like, hey, we know there's a fight. We had pretty good notice, 30 days out, and it was going to be on this day at this time. So let's get those times off. And we would show up at the event and with our table and our clothes and our banners, and we would just hang those things up. And we just really thought at that time that we were going to just be selling to our friends and kind of make a little bit of, every time you build something, I'm sure you get this too. When you first start, the little wins are really what keep you going. So when we would have, have a great night with our banners all over the place, and it seems like, you're on the center of the earth at that moment when these fights are going on and people are recording it, it's going to be a video that's put out into commerce. They're going to sell these videos, and they're catching our Tap Out logos in the background and our big banners that we have. And maybe we have a couple fighters that we gave free shorts to wear into the fight. So we usually didn't pay them. Maybe we'd throw them $100 or something, but most of the time they would just give them shorts and a shirt and they would wear it into the fight. So it was just a little tiny event, maybe a couple hundred people there. But at that moment, it feels like a big win. So it just always carry us to the next one. And then we started to have people because we'd pass out a lot of information, flyers and cards and stickers and stuff. So they would come back, and at home, we would start to get orders. So we saw this progress of the company growing because we called it throwing hand grenades. And even I have a hand grenade tattooed on my right hand. That was the whole thought and process of that, is that we would throw hand grenades all over the country, and eventually it would grow the company. And so as we started to see this grow, when we started to hit 100,000 and 300,000 and almost 1 million, I would fly, my month would basically be, 1 weekend I would fly to Hawaii for a big fight out there called Super Brawl. Then I'd fly to Indiana for a fight out there called Hook and Shoot. And then we would all jump in my Suburban and go drive up to Arizona and go sell at the Rage in the Cage out there. So it was just building slow wins that just kept building on top of each other. And eventually the company, turned into this $100 million behemoth.
Awesome, man. So I love that you call that throwing hand grenades, actually, because I'm really a big fan of the guerrilla marketing and just market infiltration and whatever you can do just to really get in front of your audience. So Was there, other than just showing up at these events, was there anything else that you feel like played a big part in you being able to turn that brand into the industry titan that it was?
Oh, I mean, it was everything. The guerrilla marketing. I lived on these guerrilla marketing books that, you know, there was a whole series of them out at the time that were really big. And we had both read all of them. And my other partner too, Scrape, we had read all of them. And we, it was just always about how could we do the most with what we had, and which was not a lot of money. Cause at that, by this time, a few years in, well, my partner quit a couple of years in. So he quit the police department. He had some problems. He had a use of force thing and he kind of just walked away. He was just tired of them chasing them, you know, coming after him about one thing or the other. So he quit and we had this conversation. Should I quit too? And he's like, no, you got to pay for this stuff. So I stayed on for another few years. I think I quit in 2003, and so we started the company in 97. So I think that, we started coming up with ideas. You know, we don't have a lot of money. How can we market ourselves? And that meant, you know, passing out a lot of stickers at the time. We made ourselves into these characters because one of the shows we went to, we'd passed out all these flyers and all of them, I can remember all of them being on the ground, and Charles came to me, my partner, and he said, you know what, this is never going to happen again. We want to make these flyers so sick that no one's ever going to want to throw them on the ground. And then he called me one day, and I remember it was at this club called Sharkies or Sharks or something like that in Huntington Beach. And he goes, you got to come out here. And so I went out there that night, and my partner Scrape, he's our third partner. He had this big wig on. And he's 6'7" already. So he's got this big, crazy Afro wig on. And it looked like his real hair. It looked real. And every girl in the place was talking to him, all these people. He was like I remember Charles pulling me back and goes, look how much attention he's getting. That's the type of attention that we need when we go into these shows. He goes, so you're going to come up with a character. I'm going to have a character and he's going to have a character. And that's his character right there. And he's just going to be crazy flamboyant. You're going to be this tough dude, you know, kind of like you kind of the look you already have. And he goes, remember that bandana you had that one time where you wore it real low on your eyes and looked crazy like a vato, you know, gangbanger. And I was like, yeah, you know, cause I had a motorcycle, so I'd wear it when I was riding. And he said, that's what you're going to wear every time. So we came up with these characters. And we didn't even realize what we were doing at the time, but people started to either love us or hate us. They're like, why are these guys all dressed up like crazy looking dudes? But they never forgot us. Every event we walked into, it was like, oh, those are the tap out guys. And we started to become the tap out crew is what they started to call us. This tap out crew, there's the tap out crew. And we started to see that online. And, you know, some people call us goofballs and some people call us, oh, those are the tap out guys, because we were so cool with everybody. And we're still, you know, my boy Charles he's 6'2", 220. He's a, you know, football player. The Scrape was 6'7". I'm not that tall. I'm only like 5'7", but I'm all tattooed up and I got this headband on. And so we looked like this force when we walked in the door, and eventually that got us, you know, we became hidden characters in the UFC video game. We had our own television show on television for a few years. You can still buy that series today at Amazon or walmart.com, eBay. We had our own Topps cards. I mean, when you start to gather attention like that, you just don't realize what it does for your brand, but it really helped us take off and it changed the landscape of the company for us.
100%, man. And I actually interviewed Colton Crottinger a while back. And one of the big things that he said to me was that he focuses on eyeballs. How can you get people talking about you? How can you get people telling their friends about you? What can you do to make yourself just stick in their mind when those eyeballs do get on you? So that's really what I've focused on ever since that interview, is just how many eyeballs can we get? And then how can we make it stick? So I really love that you're kind of that's really what you're basically all you're doing. You're showing up at the places that they are, you're infiltrating the audience, and then you're taking on these kind of alter egos so that people see you and you stick.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many people out there, you know this, that there's you, when you walk into a room, there's 500 other people that do what you do, right? And you know this, Trey. You walk into a place like Clubhouse, there's, you know, 500 people online at that time, at that moment, that do exactly what you do. You just do things different. So how do you stand out in that crowd? For us, it was the same thing. There's other clothing companies out there. There's other people walking around this event. How do we stand out in a way that people won't forget us? And we started to create these videos that we would give away. This is, you know, 1998, 99, 2000. We created these two videos, one at first, our first one, then we created a second one, but it was like, it was these videos where we were just doing crazy stuff. And we asked all these event promoters for a free fight. Like, what's one of your best fights? So let's put it on here. We're going to market you guys in this video that we're going to give away free to our audience. We're not going to sell it. We're going to say it's a free $100 value, but we're not going to sell it. We're just going to give it away to our audience. And so they each would give us a fight. All these big events, not the UFC, but all these other big events, gave us a free fight to put on our VHS tape or our CD or DVD. And we would give it away with any purchase over $100, and they would get this free video. And that was like it. And really what it did was, it was just a video that marketed us, and it marketed these other fights, which helped them. And, you know, it was because these fight promoters became reciprocal. They would give us free event time, let us sell our clothes there for free sometimes, or charge us, you know, a lower cost. But, you know, it was just always about how can we get in front of people and do things that other people aren't doing? You know, how do we flip that, this whole thing on its head, and just do it totally different than everybody else? And that's, I think if you look at our marketing plan, you know, someday we'll put it out there, but you know, I'm just giving little pieces out there, but it was everything. That was everything to us. And that's all we thought about.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrowd.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the entrepreneur on fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrowd.com/become a contributor.